Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Let me just start with a question for everyone watching, and let us know in the chats. I'm going to ask you guys as well. Who has a friend that you just can't dare to do anything because they'll do it? You know, does anyone have that crazy friend that you literally have to take care of them by being the responsible one?
Yeah.
And not daring them, because whatever you dare them to do, they will do it. So you try to protect them. If it's someone in the church, you can put their chat there so we know who not to dare. You have to keep something bad from happening so you will not dare this person. We all have someone like that that we've known or know, or some sitting here today. I'm sure, I think at least half of the group here are that person. But I was thinking of this story long ago in a galaxy far, far away. When I was 15 years old, I worked at a sandwich shop called Blimpy. Has anyone heard of Blimpy? No, because Subway, I think, kind of killed them maybe. But Blimpy was like Subway. It was a sub sandwich shop. I prefer Blimpy to Subway because, I mean, we cut the meat fresh and everything, you know. 15 years old, I couldn't even drive yet. This was my very first official job. And so my parents would give me a ride to work, and I worked in the sandwich shop. And I remember there was this guy there that was older than me, and I thought he was the coolest. I mean, he was probably like 20, 18, 19, 20, something like that. But he had his own car, he drove himself to work, and he was crazy. And as a 15-year-old guy, I just thought, man, this is the coolest guy ever. And so we're there working one day. It's on a Saturday. It's after like the lunch rush, and me and this guy and a girl that we work with are sitting at a table having a break time. And we're eating our lunch. Can anyone guess what we were eating? Sandwiches. Yeah, sub sandwiches, because that's what we had there. And then this guy takes the top off of his sandwich, the top piece of bread. He lifts it off. Delicious looking sandwiches. Sandwiches are my favorite food, by the way, if anyone wants to know. I love cold sandwiches. I mean, maybe I'm boring. Maybe I'm just simple. I love sandwiches. This guy took the top off. He was smoking a cigarette. By the way, I should add that. He's having the smoke break. Takes the top off his sandwich, puts his cigarette out in the ashtray, picks up the ashtray and dumps it on the sandwich, and then puts the top back on. Then he looks at me and this girl and says, "Hey, dudes, who will give me $5 to eat this?" Anyone know a guy like that, right? And we didn't want to give him $5. He ate the sandwich anyway. He ate it anyway. And at the time, as a 15-year-old, I was like, this is the boldest move I've ever seen in my life. He didn't even make any money. He just ate a cigarette ash sandwich. And then later, as I grew up, I realized it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So he eats this sandwich. And thinking about it, I mean, this is a story of a delicious sandwich ruined by a pile of trash eaten by an idiot. So welcome to church at home, everyone. We are in Jude part 3, and that was just the setup. You'll realize how this fits later, because this is going to relate to our story. We're looking at the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude, the last of the general epistles. This is week number 3, and like we've been talking about, Jude is writing a warning to the church. He's warning them that there are people who are taking the faith, taking the truth, and they're dumping trash in it, right? I mean, just like this guy dumping trash in a delicious sandwich, there's people slipping in. And Jude writes in verses 3-4, he's basically saying, "Dear friends, I was eager to write to you about salvation and all of the good things of the faith, but the Holy Spirit stopped me and urged me to write something else, to write this warning to you, because there are certain people who are slipping in, and they are perverting the grace of God. And they're teaching that because of God's grace, we have a license for sin or a license for immorality." And Jude is warning about these people. And I was thinking what Jude is saying we need is an apostate exam. And please don't misunderstand me. I didn't say what we need is a prostate exam. That would clear the guys out of the church. That would clear men out of the church like a corporate circumcision party, right? Hey, everyone come together. We're going to get circumcised. I mean, when I read those stories in the Bible, I'm like, those guys, like, to show up. Hey, we're getting circumcised at 3 o'clock. All right. A prostate exam would be the same. So this isn't a prostate exam. This is an apostate exam. Apostasy is the falling away from the faith. That's what the word means. So Jude doesn't use this word, but we know this is what he's talking about. Apostasy, a falling away from the faith, a falling away from the truth, or even worse, teaching a different belief or a different truth, as in false teachings. That's apostasy. And an apostate is someone who teaches apostasy. Actually, even the Greek word there for apostasy is the same word that's used for divorce. So it's like people who have separated themselves from the truth, separated themselves from our faith and the teachings of the apostles. And it's the people Jude was warning about. He's talking about these people who are separating themselves from the real faith and the real truth, and they're perverting it. And he's issuing this warning that our faith, the truth of God that was given to us, by the way, he says, once for all. Meaning it was given then. Here's the truth, and it never, ever changes. Once for all. It means that he doesn't need to give us new truth in our dreams now or new revelations. When we receive dreams or revelations now, it backs up the truth that God's already spoken. There is no new truth. It was given once and for all. And so he's teaching that the truth of God never changes. It never expires. It never gets outdated. You know, some people will say, well, I know the Bible says this, but times have changed. It's 2020. And the truth is that times change, but truth doesn't. Truth never changes. And there's false teachers and apostates that Jude's warning about. They are people who create God in their own image. You know, there's this tendency as humans, there's this desire to make God in our image. So we feel like we relate more, and it's so he can agree with what we want to do. We think, oh, God is like us. We create him in our image, so then God is in agreement with our immorality and our greed. Timothy Keller, a pastor and author, said this. He said, if your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. So we could ask ourselves this question. In our faith, in our Christianity, in our walk with God, does God ever disagree with you? I mean, do you ever saying something and you get this check in your spirit like God is saying, hey, don't say that. Don't do this. Don't go there. I mean, my God disagrees with me a lot. Anyone else here experience that? Don't say that, Chris. Don't go there, Chris. Don't do that, Chris. Don't think that, Chris. I mean, Jude is dealing with this issue that the church is facing and what the people of God must fight against. And it reminds me of this amazing story in 2 Kings chapter 4. I love the books of 1 and 2 Kings. I love the stories with Elijah and Elisha and all of the amazing miracles and the power of God at work. As a matter of fact, our youngest son, Gabriel, his middle name is Elisha. I mean, we love that name so much, so powerful. So here is a story from 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's about Elisha. And this story is called Death in the Pot. In verse 38, it says, Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, put on the large pot and cook some stew for these people. Does anyone here enjoy cooking? Yeah. Anyone at home, you enjoy cooking? I was thinking about this right here in the scripture. It's like they paused for this little cooking show. And I thought this was a great time to promo, especially since Miss Shindy is here on Saturdays. Anyone here watch the weekend show?
Yeah.
Saturdays at 3 p.m. for your kids and honestly for the adults. I mean, It's fun. The kids department do like a cooking show, and they have other activities they'll do. But when I was reading this week, I was thinking about that show, and you can tune into that on Instagram on Saturdays. But here's this guy, Elisha's telling someone to get the big pot and to cook some food for the prophet. So I have a big pot here. Let me get this. All right, here's the big pot. Here's some ingredients I'm going to sit around here. So he's sending the guy out to get what's needed so they can make some soup. I mean, imagine this story. It's so interesting right here in the middle of the story. Elisha, they're hungry. I mean, prophets get hungry, right? I mean, maybe he was even prophesying. These guys are hungry. They're like, oh my gosh, he's right. So he says, get the big pot, and they're going to cook something for the prophets. And so here I've got some things just to illustrate. Some chopped up carrots. Anyone like carrots here? So we're going to be like the prophets and make some soup. There's some carrots, some cabbage, some onions. Guys, if you were here, you would realize how strong these smell. We are using a lot of self-discipline just not to be crying right now. Here's some onions. So imagine they're making their soup. I've got a spoon, stir the pot a little bit. This is what the guy, the prophet, is gathering all this stuff. One more ingredient, I forgot. All right, a little bit of bacon.
Whoa.
Whoa. I hope bacon and onions don't make bombs, because that could be bad. All right. And then stirring up the soup. Is something wrong with this soup, guys? Does anyone think something? Who wants to have a bowl?
No. Pussy.
Anyone? Yeah, of course there's something wrong with this. There's poison in it, right? But there's poison in the pot. We would be crazy to eat this. So let me continue with this story. Verse 39, one of the prophets, they go out and they're gathering. They're in the fields. They're gathering the herbs, and they found this wild vine and picked it. There were like many gourds and things. So the prophet is gathering these things. He puts the gourds in his garment as much as he could hold. When he returns, he puts it in, cuts them up, puts them in the pot of stew. They're making the soup. No one knew what they were. So he's stirring this up. One of the prophets making the soup. He's gathered all of these unknown wild veggies. It even says they don't know what it is. And so here he is. He's making this soup. And the story continues in verse 40. So he doesn't know what this is. Here's the crazy thing. He brings the poison, this prophet. I mean, I'm thinking that's maybe why he was the prophet that was doing the cooking. Because shouldn't he have been able to foretell this is poison? Maybe that's why, okay, while the rest of us prophets talk, you go gather this stuff for the stew. Maybe he was the lowest one. And they're like, dude, you put poison in. He didn't even realize he's putting poison in there. And he's stirring this up, and then he's serving it to the other prophets. In verse 40, it says, the stew was poured out for the men. But as they began to eat, I don't know if maybe they could taste the bitter poison, or maybe their stomach started to hurt. Like maybe there was already some effect. It says it's poured out, they're eating it. And then they cried out, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. And that's where the title of this, man, what a cool title for a story in the Bible, Death in the Pot. They couldn't eat it. Ah, there's death in the pot. So what does this have to do with Jude's story? Maybe you're thinking, what does this have to do with what Jude is teaching us? It's that the enemies of the church are constantly trying to add poison to the truth. They're constantly trying to. You've got all these other good things. You've got all this good stuff that's there, and they're constantly wanting to add some poison to it, just a little bit of poison. All the good things, just a little bit of a poison mixed in. It's exactly what the enemy does. It's exactly what your enemy does. Try to poison your thoughts and poison your minds. Just a little bit of poison. Lots of truth, a little bit of poison. Hey, don't worry about the bacon. You like carrots, right? I mean, don't worry about that. You like coal? You like cabbage? It's in there. It's what the enemy does in your life, just adding poison. In this life, the battle is not won by our actions. It's not won or lost by actions. The battle is won or lost in our minds. The enemy is battling for our heart and for our mind. Satan is interested in winning your heart and your mind. I mean, sometimes we think he's only about tempting us to do bad things. What he's about is poisoning our heart and our mind. Because if the enemy gets your heart and gets your mind, the actions are going to follow. Yeah. It's just this poison. If your beliefs and your thoughts are poisoned, your actions will follow. And you'll do the wrong things. So our enemy's main goal is not to get us to act wrong. His main goal is to get you to believe wrong or to think wrong. He isn't so focused on getting you to look at pornography. What he's focused in is getting you to think that it's normal. Yeah. That doesn't hurt anyone. It's not all about the action. It's about poisoning your mind. So you just feel like, oh, this is normal. There's death in the pot. I mean, he's not so interested in getting you to act sexually immoral. He's more interested in getting you to think, hey, everyone's doing it. I mean, it's the year 2020. Everyone's doing it. There's death in the pot. He's not so interested in getting you to cheat in business. He's more interested in getting you to think, well, this is the only way to do it. To be successful, this is how you have to do business these days. This is how you do it in Maidan. He's more interested in poisoning your thoughts and poisoning your beliefs. Oh, this is normal. This is how it is. This is the new truth. The Bible doesn't really understand what I'm dealing with. God's grace will cover it anyway, right? We can sin. It's okay. God's grace covers it. And this scripture is telling us there's death in the pot. There's poison mixed in. After all of that, the poison mixed in with the good stuff. Charles Spurgeon said this. He's a famous preacher from the 1800s. Probably you guys have heard of him. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. I mean, that's a pretty cool title. I don't know if it's because he wore all purple and could sing in a high note, or maybe it was a different prince. But he's the Prince of Preachers. And he said, and this is paraphrased so we could understand it better. He said, if you are of the world, you are okay with a little poison. If you're in the world, if you're part of the world, if that's your truth, if that's the truth you believe, a little poison's okay. Ah, everyone's got a little poison. Everything's got a little. But if you are a child of God, you will cry out, man of God, there is death in the pot. If we're a child of God, we're not okay with the poison. We'll say, there's death in the pot. I know there's some good stuff there, but there's death in the pot. So Jude gives us a warning. Let me move this away because the onions are killing me. Maybe the onions, maybe the bagon. It's all killing me. So there's death in the pot. And here we are, and Jude's warning us, and he's crying out basically to us today, men and women of God, there's death in the pot. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 5, he says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you. He's writing a reminder. We're going to talk more about being reminded next week, but he's wanting to remind. And then he goes verses 5 through 10. He's giving a reminder of examples of wrong beliefs and wrong teachings, stories of destruction. Israel's wilderness rebellion, the rebellious angels, the men of Sodom. He's sharing these stories over the next verses. He's saying, hey, remember these stories. Remember how the poison came in. Remember the poison that brought death to God's people, to God's angels, to God's enemies. I mean, he's covering the whole thing. Poison is a threat to everyone. Poison can ruin everything. It threatens all the truth. Even when he's sharing these stories of the angels that even rebelled and fell. I mean, he's sharing how no one, God's people in the wilderness, when you read that story, they had been rescued from Egypt. I mean, God did this amazing miracle. And still in the desert, poison got in, and they rebelled. So he's sharing all of these stories, and he's sharing all of these illustrations of the behavior of false teachers, of apostates who have fallen away. They rebel against God's authority. They rationalize sexual immorality or justify it, and they reject God's messengers. So what do we do when we're hearing this? I mean, it could sound scary. What do we do? The bagon's already in it, right? The poison's already in the soup. What do we do? We do exactly what Elisha did with the soup. I mean, thankfully, the story didn't end there. The prophets didn't all eat the soup and die. End of the story. At verse 41, Elisha said, "Get some flour." So he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat." And then there was nothing harmful in the pot. So Elisha, even with the poison there, Elisha said, "Get some flour." And they put flour in the pot. And then it wasn't harmful anymore. And they were able to eat it. They served it and they ate it then. I mean, it was all okay. God used Elisha, his man for that time, his man of the hour, to illustrate this powerful truth about what to do when there's poison in the pot. Elisha added some flour, and the flour represents truth. I mean, it represents the truth. Flour is used for baking bread, right, Shindy? You bake a lot. Flour is used for baking bread. It represents Jesus. Jesus, we know in Scripture, is the bread of life. In John 6, 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So Elisha's illustrating that. What do you do when there's poison in the pot? You just add more truth. You add more Jesus. You add the bread of life. He's the word of God. In John 1, 14, it says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." He's the truth. In John 14, 6, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So what do we do when there's death in the pot? What do we do when there's poison mixed in the soup? We don't spend all of our time trying to get the poison out. I mean, could you imagine if I got this and I'm trying to get the poison off of every piece of coal and every carrot and every onion? It would be impossible. Just like for those guys, man, that prophet that was cooking, he had cut up all of those poisonous gourds and put it in the soup. It'd be impossible to get all the poison out of it. So we don't spend our time just trying to, "Oh, we got to get this and separate all these things." Instead, we just add truth. We just add truth. When there's some poison mixed in, just add truth. Read the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Meditate on the words of God. Live the words of God. Share the words of God. If there's poison mixed in, if there's poison mixed into your life, if your life feels unhealthy, or your business is unhealthy, or your family is unhealthy, maybe your kids seem unhealthy, just start adding truth. Just start adding truth. Speak God's word over them. Read God's word with your children. Start inviting Jesus into your home, inviting Jesus into your business, inviting Jesus into everything you do so that the truth, the bread of life, the flour will be added amongst all of the corrupt things that are there. And what happens is the truth will absorb all of that poison. Yeah. It will absorb it. Just like light casts out darkness, the truth of God absorbs the poison and brings life where death was. Right where there was, man, this is death. Just adding truth brings life. So here's how we act differently when we have truth in our life. This is what separates us from the apostates or those who had fallen away. Number one, we respect God's authority. Respect God's authority. When the apostates didn't respect God's authority, we respect his authority. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord," or fear there meaning respect, "the respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So if we want to have wisdom in our life, the very beginning is to respect God. God is greater than me. I mean, to see ourselves as just the managers of this life. I mean, say this where you are, and everyone here, say this if you don't mind. Repeat after me. I am not the owner of my life.
I am not the owner of my life.
I am only the manager.
I am only the manager.
If we see that, wow, I respect God. He is the authority. He owns this life. I manage it. I manage what he gives me. I manage the time he gives me. I manage my time on this earth. I manage the words that I speak, the things that I do. I recognize that God is the owner and I'm simply the manager, just like we read in parables that Jesus told. So respect God's authority. Number two is raise standards. We change the way we live our life. Have boundaries. If we use a word that I shared last week, it would be raise restraints. set boundaries and standards and restraints. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. We have to have a standard we live by. If we love Jesus, I love this. I just added this in Isaiah 33, verses 15 through 16. Look at what life is like. If we raise standards, if we have restraint in our life, if we are having boundaries, in Isaiah 33, it says, those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil, they are the ones who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied, and water will not fail them. If you raise some restraints in your life, if you're living for Jesus, if you're living and saying, I love Jesus, so I want my actions to show that love to Jesus. Not just following his commands out of some kind of duty, but because I love Jesus, this is the standard of my life. And it will raise the standard of your living. You have what you need. I mean, you close your ears to gossip and evil talk, and you close your eyes to letting evil into your life, and you set these standards up. And the final thing before we close is you receive God's messengers. The false prophets didn't want any authority over them. The false teachers, the apostates. And we read in Scripture, even back in the Old Testament, that God would send messengers and they would kill the messengers. I mean, the whole illustration that Jude is giving about Sodom is when God sent messengers there and they were going to attack and kill the messengers. So if we have the truth, we respect God's authority. We raise standards and we receive God's messengers. Because when we have the truth, we can discern what is right and what is wrong. We can discern what is true and what is poison. We know what to accept into our life, and we can add more truth and add more of Jesus, and it changes everything for us. Can I pray with you where you are right now? And let me pray with you guys. This is what I was thinking about the year 2020, that this is not a year of disaster for God's people. It's a year of detox. And this is a year, there's a lot of things in our life that are being removed and cut out. I really think this is not a year of disaster. It's a year of detox. We're being cleansed of poison. God is cleaning poison out of our body, out of our minds. And I believe we're becoming healthier and stronger than ever. Father, we thank you so much for your words. Lord, I thank you that you inspired Jude to write this letter to your church. Lord, that even though he wanted to write about other things and maybe things that would have been more exciting, that he listened to the Holy Spirit and he was moved to write this reminder, be careful for those who add poison to the soup. Be careful of those who try to pervert the truth, because the truth was given once and for all. It doesn't change. So Lord, I pray for everyone who's watching from home right now, Lord, that you would help them to have wisdom. Lord, that they would be able to discern the truth. Lord, that they would be encouraged to add more truth to their life by reading your word so they know what the truth is. So when people come and offer poison, when people come and try to pour some bagon into their soup, they reject it because they know that's not from you. They know what the truth is. Lord, for people that are at home and just today that they're hearing there is a truth, Lord, I pray that anyone that doesn't know you yet, that today they would know that all they have to do is cry out to you and say, God, I believe. Jesus, come into my life and save me, and they will be saved. Anyone watching right now, that's all you have to say. Jesus, save me. Just add truth. There may be poison in your life. There may be sin in your life. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Add the bread of life, and it will absorb the poison. It will remove the sin, and you'll be able to live the life that God created you to live. And Lord, I pray that with these words, they would not just go into our mind, but into our hearts. Lord, that all of us, as we're hearing your word today, we are being purified. The sin is being removed. Lord, all of the false teachings are being shown to us, Lord, so that we can see what truth is. Lord, we can recognize your voice because the Bible says that, your followers, your sheep, recognize your voice. Lord, help us to recognize our shepherd's voice. Help us to know when you're speaking to us. Lord, I pray that, we would take these words into heart and allow you to continue to purify us. Help us to be detoxed from false teaching, detoxed from the poisons of this world. Lord, that we would live according to the truth. And Lord, as we know the truth, we can go out and share that truth with others who are so desperate for us. Bless us, Lord. I pray your blessings over everyone that's at home right now viewing. Bless them. Bless their families, Lord. Watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, I pray that as all of us live for your truth and we raise standards in our life, that we would see Isaiah 33 become alive in our life, that you will provide everything we need. Lord, that we would see a difference in our life, that as we raise standards and boundaries and live according to your commands, Lord, that our whole standard of living would change. Bless us, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Wow. Well, we don't need to leave for lunch because I've already prepared some soup. But anyway, man, I'm so excited. I'm excited all of you guys were here and excited you joined us today. Remember, life group starts this week, so sign up for a life group. Gather with some people that will help you get more truth into your life. Add truth. Add truth. Add truth. I love you guys. God bless you, and I'll see you this week in a life group.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.